Book of Matthew, chapter 25, the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew, chapter 25. And when you find your place, we'll stand one last time in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I know we just stood for a few minutes, but be okay. Matthew chapter 25, and look with me in verse number 1. Matthew 25, verse 1 says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' Be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace this morning. We thank you for another Lord's day and for letting us be in the house of God. We thank you for your people, Lord, assembling themselves together once again. And Father, I pray that you would bless us now, Lord, as we try to preach your word. Lord, it's been good so far, the good fellowship, the songs that's been sung, the prayers that have been prayed, Lord, the offerings that have been given. Lord, we just thank you for it. But Lord, I pray now that you'd help us to receive your word with meekness and gladness. Lord, I pray that your word would get deep into our hearts. Lord, help us to apply it to our lives, encourage us, uplift us, reprove, rebuke us where we need it. I just pray your will would be done. And I pray for that soul among us that may be lost without God, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation, Lord, that Lord, they would be prepared for the coming of the Son of Man. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Here, I guess it was last week, Brother Johnny was here with us. The power was out there at the church, and so they came over, slipped in on us, and thank the Lord they were able to be here. He preached both services, and it was a blessing. Amen. And he, I think, mentioned just in passing when he was preaching, he mentioned this parable while he was preaching. And I guess other preachers would understand this. Sometimes, you know, when you're hearing preaching, you'll hear just a passing statement or just a passing thought, and the Lord just kind of grab you and just start giving you some thoughts and working some things in you. And I really haven't been able to get my mind off this really all week. I've had this kind of on my heart, and the Lord kind of gave me some thoughts and some things about it even right then, and began kind of working in my heart over this parable. And I want to give you some things from it that I think would be a blessing to you. And just look into this parable. I don't know that we'll get through all this morning. There's so much here, so much preaching to be done in this parable. And so I don't know if we'll maybe break it up or what we'll do. We'll just see what the message is from us this morning. But what we have here is a parable, which is a heavenly, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The Lord here is given the what's known as the Olivet Discourse, and within it, He gives this parable of these 10 virgins. And this parable, which is about 10 virgins, it's about them who went to meet the bridegroom. These 10 virgins that go out to meet the bridegroom. And the Bible says that 5 of these virgins were wise. That is, they were wise because they took oil for their lamps. The other 5 were foolish because they did not take oil or take enough oil for their lamps. Now, the 5 foolish virgins ended up being shut out of the wedding celebration because they were not prepared, because they made a foolish decision. Now, the Bible doesn't say why they made the decision. It doesn't give the reasoning. It doesn't say, tell us their thought process as far as why they didn't take oil, if they thought they could get it, if they thought they maybe had time, enough time and lost track of time, or maybe they thought they could get it at the last minute, or whatever the reason was. Maybe they thought they could borrow the whole time. They were thinking they could borrow from the others, or so I don't know. The Bible doesn't say what their reasoning was. The fact is they made a foolish decision. Regardless of the reasoning. It doesn't really matter the reasoning of the decision. If it's a foolish decision, it's a foolish decision. Amen? And it doesn't matter the thought process behind it. Listen, if you do it, if it's a foolish thing, it's a foolish thing no matter what the reasoning is. A lot of times we want to justify, well, I did this because of this, and take ourselves to this train of thought that this is why, and kind of justify ourselves. But listen, at the end of the day, five foolish virgins, they were foolish because of their foolish decision. Amen? And it costs them in the end. And foolish decisions will always cost, regardless of the reasoning and regardless of the motive. Amen? And so they were shut out of their wedding celebration because of their foolish decision. The parable is a warning, however. It's not so much about these 10 virgins and the wedding and all that. More than anything, it is a warning to be ready at all times for Christ's return. To be wise with your soul. To be wise with your religion. To be wise with your life. Because the most important thing that will happen to anybody is that they will make the crossing into eternity. Whether that be by the way of the grave, or whether that be by the way of the coming of Christ. Amen? And that's the most important thing that will ever happen to any of us, because what happens when we make that crossing will be permanent. Amen? And so that is the message of this parable. I want to give you about three things and just kind of pull out some things and look into this parable this morning. First of all, I want us to look at the circumstances here. In verses number 1-5, he gives us the circumstances, and the circumstances of this parable are that of a wedding. Now, this wedding portrays some really important features regarding the coming of Christ. He's using it, again, as an earthly illustration or earthly story to illustrate a heavenly meaning. And this wedding gives us a pretty good picture of the features of the coming of Christ. And Jesus here uses them to give a warning to be ready for His return. Now, these circumstances of this wedding are a lot different from the circumstances of our weddings today. Notice the practices of a wedding in Bible times. In verse 1, look at what it says. It says, "The kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." Now, Jesus here is using a very common illustration for the people that he's talking to, something that they are all going to be very, very familiar with. Now, we're a little less familiar with it now because we're so far removed from these days, and the wedding practices were so different then than what they are now. But as you look into it, it's not very hard to understand, because the traditional practices in a wedding in Bible times were as such. In Bible days, when they would have a wedding, the bridegroom, that is the man, the bridegroom would go to the bride's home and would take the bride from her home to his home. They didn't so much have the wedding at this big wedding venue and do it the way we do it now. The bridegroom would go to the bride, go to her home, and the whole event involved him bringing her to his home as his wife. Now, as he would take the bride home, it was generally a big occasion. I mean, it was a big celebration, and what it wound up turning into was a big procession. He would go to the bride's home, and he would meet her there, and they would do big procession through town or wherever they went, and it would be a very, very big event. And so it involved this big procession, and various people would join the procession at various different times and stations all along the way. There would be stops kind of along the way, and people would join the procession. There would be little stops, times of visiting and fellowship and celebration, and then they would move on, and other people would join. And so just as they went, as the procession procession made its way, as the bridegroom made his way home with his bride, the procession would grow and grow and grow as people joined and joined and joined in on the procession. Participate in the wedding feast. You had to be an invited guest, and you had to be a prepared guest. You had to have your wedding garment and all those things. And so it was kind of a whole big deal, and it was a big celebration, and it was so different what it is today. But the people that he's talking to would understand it very clearly, know exactly what he was talking about. And so anyone that wasn't prepared or had fulfilled the requirements of the meeting of the wedding, being in the procession, they couldn't come in once the door was shut. And so that's what happened to these five virgins. These five foolish virgins heard the call. They were waiting for the bridegroom at their particular place where it was their time to get on and get in on the procession. And when the call was made, five of them weren't ready. The procession came and went, and they were left behind. And then whenever the door was shut, they couldn't get in. So we see the practices of the wedding. But I want you to notice also the participants in the wedding. The Bible says there were 10 virgins listed as participants. Now they would obviously be friends of the bride or friends of this couple, people that they knew. And so therefore they were invited and allowed to participate in it. And along with their participation, I want you to notice their location. In verse number 1, he says, they went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now, that bridegroom is going to have the bride with him as he's going through. Isn't that right? And so they went forth to meet the bridegroom. And that being said, what happened was they came to the place, their particular place where they were supposed to be to meet the procession as it was coming through. And others already in the wedding procession with them. So that procession's coming through. They come to time, the call is made, and they get to their location where they're supposed to be. You know, getting to the right location, being in the right place at the right time, all of that means very little whenever it comes to the coming of the Lord. You know what the difference is? The difference is the oil. A lot of people think that if they're going to be in church or they're going to be doing something good or they're going to be caught, you know, doing some good deed, that they're going to be okay when the Lord comes. But being in the right place at the right time means very little. You know, a lot of people have been in the right place at the right time when the Holy Spirit dealt with their heart about being saved, and they walked away lost. Amen. They walked away without the oil. And so they were in the location. But then notice their lamps. The Bible says, because it was late, that is nighttime. Because it was late, they needed lamps. Now, in our day, now we'd carry a flashlight, right? So if we were to translate this passage into modern day, then we wouldn't have had lamps that had flashlights. And five were wise because they charged their flashlight, and five were foolish because they didn't charge their flashlight or bring batteries, right? But here they use lamps because it was late, and the lamps were there to guide their path, and they needed the lamps. They needed the oil. And so the lamps point out an important difference in the participants' character here. The Bible says in verse 2 that five of them were wise, five of them were foolish. The wise had taken enough oil for their lamps, but the foolish ones did not. The five came prepared, and then the other five came very unprepared. Now, what's interesting about all this, and what's especially interesting about their lamps, is that from the outside, they all may look the same. As a matter of fact, from the outside, a lamp may actually burn for a little while and have a flame for a little while, but it will never last if there's no oil. You can take that lamp, and all the lamps can be beautiful. They can all be garnished. I mean, they can be maybe a special lamp that they set aside just for this special occasion, and they shined it up, and it's beautiful and elaborate and gorgeous from the outside. Maybe they have their wedding garments on. They're all fixed up and ready for their wedding. And so, in other words, from the outside looking in, all 10 virgins probably look the same. They all have nice lamps. They all have nice clothes. They all have, look like they're ready for the wedding as far as the outside looking in. But the difference was what was on the inside of the lamp. The inside required oil. Now, oil is always a picture and type of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. That lamp there is a picture and type of religion. And you know, in our modern day, religion can be just as fixed up and beautified on the outside. It can all look just as beautiful as, one can look as beautiful as the other on the outside. And your religion can look just as good and dressed up on the outside as anybody else's. But the difference is going to be the oil. The difference is the Holy Spirit. Amen? And it doesn't matter how much we dress ourselves up and how much we convince everyone around us and how many good deeds we do and all those things. The difference will always be the oil. Amen? And so, though they looked the same, though they all had lamps, five of them had something on the inside, and five of them was missing something on the inside. A lot of people have got a religion that looks really good on the outside, but it's full of dead man's bones on the inside. There's nothing there. Amen? And so, five of them were wise, five were foolish, five took oil, but five didn't have enough oil. They came unprepared. And so they were very foolish. But then notice number three, their lethargy. In verse 5 it says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They slumbered and slept. You know, to me, again, all this whole passage, this whole parable is a picture. It's an illustration of the days just before the coming of the Lord and then that event. Is a picture of that. And so everything within this passage speaks of those days and speaks of the coming. Now, I think it's very interesting, but I also think it's no mistake that Jesus made a point to say that just before the Lord came, just before the bridegroom came, and the call was made, they were slumbering and sleeping. I don't think it's any mistake either that it was at nighttime. Now, I think both things speak of the days that will be just before the coming of the Lord. First of all, dark days. Nighttime. It was midnight. That speaks of the darkest hour of the night. And I believe with all my heart that some of the darkest days of human history will be just before the coming of the Lord. Sin is going to abound. The love of many will wax cold. All those things. Listen, there are days of deception, days of sin, days of wickedness. I'm telling you, these are dark days that we are in right now. Amen? And no doubt, just before the coming of the Lord, as you read your Bible, the days just before has come are dark days. But he also said they were slumbering and sleeping. They were asleep. In other words, they were lethargic. And no doubt the Lord is making the point that the last days just before the coming of the Lord will be days of spiritual slumber. Days of spiritual lethargy. Spiritual lethargy had gripped this entire group. By the way, not just the ones without oil. The ones who had oil, they were sleeping too. All 10 of them were asleep. All 10 of them were lethargic just before the Lord came. And the Lord is illustrating to us the way things are going to be just before He comes. Amen? And it will certainly be days that will be highlighted by apathy and lethargy. Amen? Both in and outside the church. Amen? I mean, you get out and you talk to people about their soul and about spiritual things, and people just have little to no interest. I was thinking about all these storms that have been coming through, and boy, I hate it so bad for people, but I was thinking about the difference of the way things are today and now when these disasters happen versus the way it maybe was, 20 years ago when 9/11 happened and those buildings came down and it was God bless America and the churches were full. And I know it didn't last, but we did see a measure of revival in those days, amen, where preachers were preaching and America was being called back to God and the attention and the focus was being shifted back to the foundation of this country and what we were founded on. And it was God bless America. You saw it everywhere, friend. I mean, people were going to church and people were turning to God and God was the focus again. But nowadays, man, when disasters strike, you don't hear anything about God bless America now. You don't hear anything about people turning back to God. I mean, you talk to people about their soul and people are just so uninterested. They are spiritually asleep. And you can't do anything to wake them. That's outside the church. Listen to me, it ain't much better inside the church. I mean, I've said this many times. I mean, when I first started out not long ago, and I've not been in this thing for a long time, but when I started out not too terribly long ago, listen, you could at least make people mad whenever you preach back then. I mean, you could preach hard, and you could come down on sin, you could preach right where people are living, and people would at least get mad at you. But people are so lethargic now, spiritually, they don't even make them mad anymore. They'll shake their head, smile, and say amen, and then shake your hand on the way out and go right out and live the exact opposite of what you just preached, and it does not affect them at all. It don't bother them. It don't bother them. Well, that's just the preacher. That's just the way he is, you know. That's just the way the preacher... I mean, we forget that it's the Bible, right? We forget that this is thus saith the Lord. But it's just like, well, that's just the preacher, and that's just church, and we just, you know, we have our church life, we do a little church thing, and then we have our real life, our regular life that we normally do, and that's just, you know, that's just life. That's just the way it is. And I'll tell you what has happened. We have fallen asleep in these last days. They are days of lethargy, just like our day. It's the typical condition of people both in and outside the church. I never really imagined that days would be like they are now, where, I mean, it really does feel like the Holy Spirit is not dealing with people anymore. I mean, it really doesn't. I mean, it just doesn't feel like, it doesn't feel like we have the power we once had. Even whenever I first started, it doesn't feel like that the message has the effect that it once had. It doesn't feel like it moves us. It doesn't feel like it affects us. It doesn't feel like the church or the lost. It doesn't feel like people are affected at all by spiritual things anymore. And I tell you what it is, I believe with all my heart, these are the days just before the coming of the Lord. And so we see the circumstances here. But then number two, we see the crisis. I want you to notice the crisis. In verses 6 through 9, we find a great crisis here. Now, this is interesting because the days just before the coming of the Lord, we've just described them. Lethargic, apathetic, you know, the days of Noah, eating and drinking and marrying and giving to marriage. In other words, God is far from man's thoughts and man's just living his life and just enjoying his life. And those are the days just before the coming of the Lord. But you find that just as the Lord comes, there's a great crisis. A crisis developed among the virgins involving these lamps that they had. And what it does, it portrays the crisis that's going to occur at the coming of Christ for anyone. He's here. There's a crisis of darkness. Again, it says in verse number 6, at midnight, there was a cry. The crisis occurred at midnight. Again, it speaks of the darkest hour of the night. It pictures the dark, sinful conditions of the world when Christ comes back and people will be living in their sin and enjoying their sin and having no problem with their sin. And at midnight, the cry came. It's a crisis of darkness. But then there's a crisis of declaration in verse 6. He said, at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. A crisis of declaration. See, an announcement was made here, and that's what they would happen in these processions. That procession would come through, and they would have one to come out and to announce to those that were supposed to join the procession at a certain time. Someone would come out and would announce that the procession is coming, the bridegroom is coming, so get ready, get prepared. He's coming, it's here, it's your time, it's your time to join, it's your time to jump in. The time is now, he's here. And the announcement is made. So the announcement was made to alert those that were waiting at their stations. The Bible said there was a cry. See, this cry would have been piercing and shocking and surprising and startling, especially to people who were sleeping. They were asleep. And whenever that cry was made, no doubt it jolted them awake. And it was the most important announcement that these virgins could ever hear in their life was that the bridegroom is coming. He is here. You know that cry is going out right now? Not the cry that he's here, but the cry that he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And I tell you, preachers are still preaching and the call is still going out. The message is still going out. That listen, He is coming. He's not here, but you need to be ready. You need to be prepared. The time is coming. The procession is coming. The time is now. The event is now. You need to be ready now. Now, now, now. The cry is going forth. And it's the most important cry of these people's lives. And it's the most important cry of our lives. Get ready because He's coming. But then there's a crisis of discovery. Look in verse 7. The Bible says, then all those virgins arose, all of them. And it says, and they trimmed their lamps. That means all 10 of them, right? You got 5 that's got oil and they trim their lamps. You got 5 of them that don't have any oil, but they still trim their lamps. They jumped up and they got ready just like everybody else. They were absent-minded. Not for one second had they ever thought, apparently, up to this point, had they ever even thought about the oil, I guess. They jumped up, they trimmed the oil. I mean, they just thought they were okay. I guess they just thought it would all work out. And I think a lot of people are floating through life that way. Like, well, I know what the preacher says, I know what the Bible says, and I know I get this convicting feeling and all the things, but you know, it's all going to work out. It's all going to be fine. It's all going to work out. And they think, well, whenever He comes, they'll just jump up and just get ready just like everybody else does. So they all jump. They trim their lamps. The Bible says, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. So they trimmed their lamps, but that fire didn't last long. It went out. And they've now facing a great crisis of discovery. Now, at this moment, they've realized we are missing something. We don't have something. It caused these 5 foolish virgins to discover this great crisis in their life. Their lamps had gone out and they didn't have oil to replenish them. They weren't prepared. They discovered their failure. But here's the problem. They discovered it too late. You know, I'm afraid that a lot of people are going to discover this same crisis in their life. I'm going to discover it too late. The cry's going out. The calls are being made. Wisdom is crying in the street, just like He said in Proverbs. He's crying in the street, you know, get oil, get ready, get prepared. But for one reason or another, people are putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And eventually there's going to come a time of great crisis when it's going to be too late. They're going to put it off one more day and that's going to be the last day. One more service and that'll be their last service. One more invitation, that'll be their last invitation. One more opportunity and that'll be their last opportunity. And I'm telling you, there's going to come a time. There will come a time. Every single one of us will face the day. We will face our last sunrise one of these days. Every single one of us will see our last sunset one of these days. Every one of us will sit through our last message in our last church service. Every one of us will have our last opportunity. Listen, we don't know when it's going to be, but there's going to come a time when it's going to happen. Just like every childhood group of friends that played together for their last time, they never knew it at the time. But there always comes a time when every group of friends plays together for their last time. They don't know when that time will be. They don't know what time it is. You're just living their life. Just like every parent will hold their baby for the last time. Every person, listen, there comes a last time, a last opportunity. It's going to happen to all of us. A lot of people are going to face a great crisis because that will be the moment of discovery. When it will finally dawn on them and sink in, I don't have what I need. I don't have what I need. And so we see the circumstances here and we see the crisis here. Last of all, very quickly, notice the condemnation here. The result of their failure to be prepared. There's 2 things I want you to notice. First of all, I want you to notice the solicitation. In verses 8 and 9, look at what it says. It says, the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil. Then it says in verse 9, it says, but the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now they realized they were out of oil, and they tried to get oil from the wise. They saw somebody who had the real thing. They had saw somebody had something on the inside, and they tried to get for them. But of course, the wise virgins couldn't give them any of their oil. They couldn't share their oil with them. There wouldn't be enough for both. They were wise. They made their decision. They prepared themselves, and they weren't able to give to the ones who were foolish. You know, that's the reality of spiritual things too, is that you've got to have your own oil. You know, you'll never make it borrowing off of somebody else's faith. You've got to have your own faith. You've got to have your own oil. You've got to have your own experience with God. You've got to have your own salvation moment, like we talked about earlier. That's got to be in your life. No one grows into salvation. No one is born physically into a saved family. No, listen, that doesn't happen. You have to have an experience. You have to have a moment of salvation with God where you get born again. You have to have your own crossing. But as soon as it sunk in that we don't have enough, they immediately thought, where can I get from somebody else? You can't get from somebody else. There's a solicitation, but then we find them going shopping here. In verse number 9, they told them, they said, go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And so they took off. They scrambled trying to find oil real quick. They went to buy in verse 10. And so they went scrambling, went looking. So that was their only option at this point. Their only option was that they could go shopping for oil. But I have to remind you, it's midnight. It's not a good time to go shopping. It's midnight. It's not like it is today where Walmart's open 24 hours a day. They didn't have 24 hours. They didn't have a 7-Eleven they could run down to. It was midnight. Everything's closed and the procession is coming. The procession is upon them. And all they can do, it's their last resort, is to go shopping, to go looking, to see what they can do. And certainly they were not able to find any. Not in time. The procession came and went. The bridegroom came and went. They got into the feast. The door was shut. And their opportunity was over. You know, last minute spiritual preparation will never work out. There is not one verse in the Bible that backs up or speaks positively of preparing your life spiritually in the last minute. Every verse that ever talks about a time frame regarding salvation, it's today. It's right now. It's immediate. It's don't wait one more second. Because in that one more second, your opportunity could be over. Today is the day of salvation. You know, the question that this asks, and this isn't all that could be said about this parable this morning, but the question that it really begs for all of us is, are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you ready for Jesus to come? You know, we talk about it all the time, and preachers have preached it for years, but for whatever reason, it's just been on my mind more so in these days than ever before in my life. Listen, I'm not a date setter. You're not either. Can if you want to, but you're going to be wrong probably. No man knoweth the day or the hour, but we do have the signs of the times. And I'm telling you, brethren, these are wicked days. Everything the Bible said that would be going on the last days are happening today, and it's getting more intense. It's getting more intense. I mean, I don't know. I think maybe this weather, these storms we're seeing, I mean, it's got it on my mind. Listen, creation is groaning. Talk about them earthquakes in diverse places and the storms. And I'm telling you, the sin that is within our society is causing creation to groan. And it's coming up before the Lord, and He's not going to take much more. Jesus is about to come back. And the question that this parable asks and the warning that He gives is, are you ready to meet Jesus? Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace, and I thank You for Your Word, for helping us with it. And I pray that You'd help us all, Lord, to be prepared. But I pray for that lost soul that may be among us this morning that's not ready to meet God. I pray that today would be the day they'd repent and believe the gospel and be saved. Lord, I pray for those of us that are saved, Lord, that we'd be ever busy about your business, Lord, doing your will, knowing that you are coming, and Lord, that Lord, everyone that we know, all of our loved ones, Lord, that are not saved by the grace of God, Lord, they will be left. They will miss. That door of opportunity will be shut. And so I pray that you would help us, Lord, to take this, Lord, this parable and this message to heart, and Lord, that we would be what you'd have us to be in these last days. Well, thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.